Welcome to Apolitical, the podcast where we talk about everything that's not political. And today, we are going to talk about succeeding with mental illness. I myself have autism, depression, and general anxiety. And I've made a pretty good life of myself. I have a job, I have a house, and I have you guys to listen to me. So, here's how it's gonna go down. We're gonna talk about the first part of my journey here, which is about autism. I was diagnosed at age 3 with high-functioning autism. Well, first it was low-functioning, because originally, I had ability to talk, but then I lost that ability. Then I had to go through years of therapy and speech, like coordination, what's that other one called? Occupational manners and social skills, and to become to where I am today, where I can hold a job and make a decent living. There was a lot of sacrifice on my part. I had to work very hard. And I want to make that abundantly clear with anybody that you can do anything. You just have to work hard and put your mind to it. So that's where I have eventually did. And now here I am. And I'm sorry for the last episode where I was stuttering a lot. I'm kind of new at this. Like, if I'm talking to a person, I'm actually quite confident and I don't stutter as much. But when I'm on here, it just kind of, you know, it's just how it is. But, yeah, I want everyone to know that I believe in you, and you can do great things. You just have to believe yourself. And, you know, come and understand yourself. See, with me and my autism, autism is a neurological imbalance. And it's not a disability. Well, it's not always a disability. It can be. But with me, I like to view it as a unique outlook on life. Because I do comedy and I work really hard. And I also written a book about autism. Children's book called Baby Mercy, which is available on Amazon and Kindle. And I've made it pretty far in life. I even graduated from high school and I even attended college. And I mean, granted, I'm lucky. Not many people make it to where I have. And I'm not here to brag. I mean, I believe everyone is special and unique in his or her own way. And I think that we as a society need to move up and help people to find out what their strengths are. Like, my strength, believe it or not, is being an extrovert. This is really hard to do this podcast, but I'm doing it anyway because I think I can help people. And I want, no matter, so with this, that being said, I think that we need to all get together And that's one of the reasons why I made this a political podcast. Because I believe that by discussing politics, you're just alienating people. And people act barbaric and tribalistic whenever their favorite, like, party or candidate gets smeared or praised or whatever. So, that's why I tried to avoid politics. And, you know, there are some things that I really wish I could do. Like, I always want to drive a car, get my license, but I have trouble driving. I keep getting anxiety and panic attacks at the wheel. But it is what it is. I can still get around, I can still walk, I have a bike, I even take the bus from time to time. And I even take my morning and evening medications on time and with no hassles. And by the way, I'd like to apologize for the last episode where I made fun of Kim Kardashian. I was trying to be funny, but now that I think about it, I was kind of being mean. I was just nervous and, you know, I didn't know what to say. So I kind of got ugly. And I apologize, and I hope that that never happens again. So, please, whoever listens to me, forgive me. And always help one another. Cherish one another. Because you never know how long people will have on this earth. If you're a parent, always try to be in your child's life if you can help it. Always strive to make them better people of this earth. Teach them, like, to get a good education or a good skill. And teach them that sometimes the world is going to be tough. Like, I know for a fact that it was really tough on my first day of school when I was in kindergarten. No, it wasn't kindergarten. It was pre-K, which nowadays they call that K-4 or preschool, but back then it was pre-K. I was 4 years old, first day of school. I cried like a little baby because I just couldn't take it. Eventually, I got used to it, and then I was homeschooled for many years until 11th grade. I went to a actual school, and I actually did fine there. I made A's and B's, and I graduated, and I got into the first choice of college, which I'm taking a break from, but maybe someday I'll finish the degree. And I know that everyone who ever doubted me will be amazed, and my parents will be proud of me. I mean, I've let a lot of people down. I've hurt a lot of feelings, and I really hope that I can rise above this and be the best I can be and make something of myself. I don't care what I'm good at, I'll find what I'm good at and I'll succeed, because that's what people do. They succeed. And I thank you, all of you, for listening and putting up with this, because right now We're going to go to a word from our sponsors. Thank you guys so much for sticking with me for this long. I have just finished the first segment, which anyway, this podcast is available for open for listener support. So if you want to have a donation, feel free to do so, and I will greatly appreciate that. But anyway, going back to my story, sometime when I was in high school, I had to take, antidepressants, but it helped me out, and every time I got off those antidepressants, I would always have an anxiety attack, so I had to keep taking them, which, by the way, helped me out, so I'm glad I could do it. And here I am. But now one time I didn't take my antidepressants, I got sent to a hospital. And being in the hospital is no fun. In fact, I was there over Christmas. I did not get any fun times. In fact, the doctor went on vacation and left me alone. So I had to wait for her to show up. I think kind of the mental health, modern mental health facilities are kind of lack. They kind of punish you for being sick. They think that they're better than you, which no one is better than anyone. We're all in this together. I believe I believe that if you need help, you can get it. But I don't think that it should be forced on you that you need help. I mean, because then that doesn't really help anyone. That doesn't help you. That makes you more miserable. And I don't think anyone deserves to be treated less than anyone. And I'm glad that as a man, I've needed help before. And I've gotten help before. But sometimes there's some things that you just don't need help for. But I digress. When I was in the hospital, it was really scary. Like, the people there would threaten to hurt me, the patients, that is, and every time I had any sort of reaction whatsoever, doctors would write me up and put me in there longer. So I had to almost not be myself, in a way, just to survive. That's one thing I hate doing, putting on an act. I'm real. This is not a persona. I'm not doing a weird, funny voiceover, like, whatchamacallit. I'm not a character or a persona. I'm a person. This is the real Isaac Woolsey you're talking to. Now, granted, when I'm with friends, I'm more lively, but this is how I am. And I think that, if you have a problem with me,
that's on you. Now, if I did something wrong, I will apologize and ask for forgiveness. But I think the problem nowadays is there's people who apologize for things that aren't their fault. Like the way they are, the way they look. And I think we as a civilized society need to move past that. Like, I always see, like, a celebrity, they do something and they go, "Oh, I'm sorry that you got offended," which isn't an apology. You have to say, like, "I'm sorry, I hurt someone. You don't have to forgive me, but all I ask is that you recognize that I'm sorry." I mean, forgiveness and apologies are secondary. But people are primary. People have emotions. People have feelings. And people can get overwhelmed. I get overwhelmed sometimes. Even when I'm not doing anything, that just who I am. I can sometimes be paranoid, I can be funny, I can be all kinds of things. But I think, you know, anyone can judge me. I'm not going to fault them, because there's a lot of things people can critique about me. I understand. I have flaws. I'm a human being. I try not to look for flaws in others. I try to help them out. I mean, there's people on the internet who, like, try to come up with, like, attacks on, like, various other personalities, and they get into fights, and it's like, I don't want to be a monster. Now, I will defend myself if I'm slandered. But if someone doesn't like what I have to say, that's them. That's their freedom of speech. I'm very much for the First Amendment of the United States and for freedom of speech. I think that's like the foundation of Western civilization, is being able to be free to speak your own mind, to say no to tyranny, or say yes to approval of self. It's great. I'm not that eloquent, as you can tell, but darn it, I try. I mean, no one has to agree with me on anything, but I try not to be deliberately divisive. I mean, I may spout an opinion, but at the same time, the only rule on the show is that I'm not gonna go into politics. That is just something that I've made myself very clear on. Because politics usually does not end well for anyone. I mean, who I vote for is or who you vote for is no one's business. I was always taught that's rude to ask who someone voted for. But nowadays, celebrities and everyone wear who they voted for on their sleeves, and they take pride or joy over that. And I'm like, you know, I just think it's ridiculous. But, yeah, that's my 2 cents on the issue. And now, coming up, it is time for our sponsor. Be right back, guys. Welcome back to Apolitical. Back from the break. Well, as some of you know, I have really bad anxiety. I freak out on the slightest thing. In fact, I'm going to tell the story about when I went to Charlotte, North Carolina, and I was on the verge of having a major meltdown. It all started back in 2017, I think. Yeah. I had all this money that I saved up, and it was spring break, so I decided to go to Charlotte from Raleigh, North Carolina. Charlotte, North Carolina, from Raleigh, North Carolina to Charlotte, North Carolina. And so I got on to Greyhound, and pretty much everything went fine. I got there in one piece. I had to leave really, really early, and I enjoyed my time, and I went to Carowinds and stuff like that. Just then, however, going back was a nightmare because they messed up the schedule, and they said I had to come in because it was like the next morning and I had nothing planned, and I was like, they didn't want me back till 10 p.m. So I was stuck in Charlotte for another like 12 hours pretty much. And so I walked around, I went shopping and stuff like that. Then I sprained my ankle, I twisted my ankle. And so I had a horrible limp. Everything was in pain. I eventually got to the bus station where I asked if there was any earlier rides, and they're like, nope, none to Raleigh. So I was stuck in pretty much hack, H-E double hockey stick to be exact, and I stayed at the bus stop for several hours and waited. Then when 10 o'clock, and there was literally no place to sleep at the bus stop. There's a metal grate bench and hard concrete tile floors. And I could not sleep on that. So I was just up. I sat down. I was in pain from the ankle. Then eventually, the driver came at around like an hour after 10. Like, he was late, and then he says, "Oh, by the way, my shift is over. You need to call another driver." I lost it at that point. I was like furious. I was like, I went up to one of the employees, and I was like, "This is ridiculous. I need to go home." And so I had to wait another, and they were like, "Oh, well, we have to wait till we get another driver. That's like 3 hours away." So I waited 3 hours. Eventually, it was like, I think like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I finally got on the bus, and we didn't arrive back in Raleigh till like 7 in the morning, and I slept on the bus, but I was in so much pain, and I almost had to go to the hospital. But now I have almost like a fear of going on buses that go out of town, because I can't really plan ahead or coordinate with them. They just kind of mess me up, and it's really hard to explain, but But I prefer going on a plane than a bus, because planes, you get there quicker. It's a hassle to get on them, hassle to get off, but once you're on and once you're off, you're done. I mean, just riding on the plane is actually kind of soothing, although I cannot sleep on a plane. I've traveled 7 countries in Europe, and not once did I ever fall asleep on the plane. I just couldn't sleep. It would shake me up. I'd take some of my night meds to make me drowsy, but I would be up for several hours on the flight, like a 12 or 14 hour flight. I'd be up the whole time because I just could not sleep. But, you know, traveling is kind of one of those things that it's really tough because you have to wait a while till you get there. You can't just throw up your hands and say, that's it, I'm going back home. You can't turn the plane around. At least, I hope you can't turn the plane around. That'd be a nightmare for everyone. But, yeah. But I do like the places I went to Europe. My favorite country in Europe was Italy. I love Italy. The Italian people were nice. The food was amazing. And Rome? Oh, don't get me started on Rome. There's if you love history and art, you will love Rome. Because pretty much everywhere you go, you can see the mixture of different eras of history all in one area. Like, you'll see the Roman Forum, which was built at 30 BC. You'll see the Roman Colosseum, which was around 100 AD. And you'll see Mussolini's palace, which was in the early 20th century. And they're all within walking distance of each other. It's just bonkers. But it's kind of a good place to really let loose. Although I really liked Florence when I went there. To go on top of Il Duomo, and there's a restaurant at the base of Il Duomo, which if you go there, it's the giant dome thing in Switzerland. I mean, not Switzerland. That's another place I went to in Florence. But you go at near the bottom, across the street, there's a restaurant called Cafe del Duomo. They have some of the best pizza I've ever tasted there. And how restaurants work in Italy is it's kind of like there'd be a waiter. No, there'd just be a guy standing out there that would hand you a menu. And you walk in, they pull you from the street and they give you a menu. And you can decide to walk in and you order your food and your drink. And they don't bug you. Even after you're done eating, they will not give you your check or force you out until you're ready. You have to actually ask for your check before you leave. And you have to sit there and ask. So you can just sit there for hours upon hours till closing time. I wouldn't do that, of course, but you could. And also in Italy, you don't tip. Because in European custom, that's considered rude. Because the restaurants actually pay their servers a lot more than American restaurants do. which is pretty awesome. And yeah, so that's what dining in Europe is like. Well, that's all the time we have today, and be sure to follow us at Apolitical. We're available on the streaming devices of Spotify, Pocket Cast, and of course anchor.fm/apolitical. Thank you very much. Bye.